podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is the View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 17th of September, nearly forgot, 2019. My name is Patrick Smith. How's it going, everybody? The Belfast Giants are back in domestic competition. We've got a lot to talk about. I'm going to start the show because I was thinking about this on the way home from work earlier. I want to start the show personally by saying a big thank you to everybody for joining us. I don't think I say that enough. We really enjoy doing this. We really enjoy having you guys interact with us and listening to our podcast, be it you catch it on the Cool app, on your podcast clients, be that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever it is. We really enjoy having you guys be part of the show. And what a show have we got for you guys. We're going to hear in a moment from Laura Small. We're going to talk about that donor initiative we spoke about last week. But we'll also hear from Paul Swindlehurst, Kieran Long. We'll be chatting with Jean Dupree and the main man himself, Omar Pasha, will be looking ahead with us to the game against the Dundee Stars this Saturday. If you want to get in touch with us at AVFTB on Twitter, Facebook.com, you can get us there as well, or podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com. And all of our articles, reports, interviews, and all of that is on kingdomofthegiants.com. So let's get stuck into this review from the bridge. And first of all, Mr. David McGimsey, you've been running around the streets chasing a rabbit.
Yes. Fluffy got out today. The builders at the house next door banged the door. Says, "Mate, have you got a rabbit?" I do, mate. He says, "It's way down the street there, Will." So, this rabbit, at the best of times, doesn't let you within 6 feet of it. So I got my bare feet chasing it around the street.
Elmer Fudd hat rifle.
Mate, honestly, it's an absolute prick. It's got zero endearing features. It just eats and poops. And it doesn't let you stroke it. And it cost me 40 quid and a hutch. And it's got a wee mate that costs 40 quid as well. It's called Jumpy because it just jumps.
Jumps.
And that's good. It costs carrots and kale. It eats better than I do.
Ah, dear. And also Mr. Joel Neal, who's been hobnobbing it in Whitehall this week. Ooh. A nice little trip down 10 Downing Street to see Bojo, eh?
Vote Neil 2020. The campaign for the party will be launched shortly, and I'd like all your votes, please. Thank you very much.
Enjoy yourself.
It was work, mate. 17-hour day, pretty long day, and I managed to successfully avoid Boris Johnson, though, which was fantastic. He was sort of working the room in Downing Street, and I was pasted against the furthest wall I could find. I mean,
did you see my old mate oil tank when you were there?
His oil tank, mate.
Big Frank Shivers.
I did, actually. Yes, I saw Frank.
I've seen old Barney Rubble on the doorstep.
Yeah, although, you know, conversely to me trying to stay out of a picture with a Tory, he was sort of jumping and jostling to try and get, you know, absolutely. You know how it goes.
You're listening to the political podcast here.
Rabbit takes, Tory takes. Here we go again.
Right, let's actually start the show by revisiting something that we had at the start of the show last week, David.
Yes, Paddy, obviously last week we talked very briefly about the opportunity for signing up the organ donation registers, giving blood, bone marrow and stuff. And that obviously all stems from some of the good work that Laura does, along with a lot of the people, that surprisingly large amount of people within just the Belfast Giants fan base that have needed or donated organs. And you know, it's much, much better coming from Laura than coming from me. So earlier tonight, I got a chance to talk to her.
We're joined now by a lady who often gets mentioned in any other business, but she deserves so much better. She deserves her own little slot on the show. And tonight, we're very, very fortunate to be joined by Laura Small. Smallsy, welcome along to View from the Bridge.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Laura, without going in, let's go straight to the crux of the matter. Saturday night, special evening, something very close to your heart. Tell us all about it.
Saturday night, we're going to be having Organ Donation Awareness Night. Organ Donation Awareness Week has kind of just finished, but just with our games and things, it's going to work out for us this week. So we're trying really hard to promote becoming a donor, registering yourself, and also not just about organs, but also about blood. Both of them need more people to register. There's a real shortage of blood in Northern Ireland. We need 115 new donors every week. 850 units of blood are used here every week. So they're always looking for more people. And then obviously becoming an organ donor, it's so important. One person can save 7 people from their organs, and you can't use those organs anymore when you're gone. It's so important to register. It's so important to tell your family that this is what you want, so that if you haven't registered, that your family still know and they're not left making that choice, because it's a very difficult time for people. If people aren't able to do it in that moment, it's incredible for them. But if they already know that that's what you want, or you're already registered, it just makes things a lot easier for everyone. It's so amazing, such an amazing thing to do.
I suppose one of the major perceptions of organ donation is there's death involved, you've passed away, whatever, and you know, you donate your organs, but there's so much you can actually do while you're still here. You talk about blood, you talk about bone marrow, and there's also the option for actual donation of certain organs while you're still alive.
Yes, obviously blood and bone marrow you can give alive, and even bone marrow has changed over the years. It used to be associated with a lot of real pain, and you had to get a big needle into your hip, and it's actually the majority of it is done. I think around 95% of bone marrow transplants are done through a stem cell, through blood. So it's not the way it used to be. It's not a horrific procedure a lot of the time now. But you can also be a living donor. You can get a kidney when you're still alive, because you don't actually need both of them. I know that obviously leaves you susceptible if something ever happened to you, but you live in that every day. The people walk on top of the bus. I don't mean to sound depressing, but that's the reality of it. So today I met a woman whose husband had given her his kidney while he was alive. And what better thing could you do for your wife? You can never win another. She'll never win another argument in her household. But like, what an incredible thing to do! And he said he loved her, and he didn't want her to die, basically. And there's no way of dressing that up.
Let's talk about Saturday night here. How can people actually get involved at the game?
Okay, well, in the foyer, we're going to have a table which will have forms to join for blood donation. We'll also have forms to join for organ donation. And there'll be people there who've actually made that decision to give their loved ones' organs away in that moment. And they'll be there if you've got any questions. I'm there, well, I'll be at the merchandise, but I'm there if anyone's got any questions at all. We'll also be showing a video of Giants fans who it's affected. It's crazy that in such a small percentage of the population, so many people have been affected, like, just really quickly. Blake's had a heart valve, Dylan needs a liver, Nicole had a cornea transplant, Tom's had 300 blood transfusions and 2 bone marrow transplants. That lady had her kidney. It's just insane. And another lady had a heart. That's just in a really small percentage of our population. How many people it affects, it doesn't discriminate. It affects people. It doesn't matter about your gender. It doesn't matter about your age. It doesn't matter about your religion. It doesn't matter about your color. It doesn't matter about anything. It can affect anybody at any time from both sides. Look at Dylan, he's 15 and he's waiting 2 years now on the liver. It doesn't matter what age you are. So it's so important to consider and to think about what you can do, especially when you're not here.
Yeah. And, let's also talk about, I think we put it out last week, we'll put it out again this week. If you can't make the game this weekend, obviously you'll be tuned into Belfast Giants TV. But if you're not at the arena and you can't get signed up for this, is there any way you can link up with you online on this?
Yes, there's a ton of different things. So for blood, the easiest way is probably by text. You can text the word blood to 681. If you want to email me at Nora@BelfastGiants.com for any contact details for any of the organisations, that's no problem. Probably the easiest way to register to become a donor, is if you're not going to be at the arena, is online at organdonationni.info/register. I'm not exaggerating, it's like a minute of a form, if even. It's just your details, the organs that you're going to submit, and then that's it. That's done. And you've hopefully been able to help someone whenever you're no longer here in 45 seconds.
Well, that's something that we obviously mentioned. If you listen back to last week's show, you'll hear a little bit of detail about it. Laura's going to be on this week's show, and we'll keep pushing this over the next few weeks on Twitter to help you out as well. But we can't have you on the podcast. Not everyone will have had the pleasure yet of knowing Laura and what she does. But we have to ask you about Jim and Mitzi and how they're doing and what's going on with them at the minute.
They're good. They're in Texas at the minute. There's a potential chance they might come back before Christmas, but that'll be dependent on Jim's health. But Missy's great. She had cancer about 18 months ago, but she's made a full recovery and she's still completely bonkers. Jim had very good days and some not so great days, but the days that are good are brilliant. And he still follows the team. And he's still, I was there in July and we spent a lot of time going over everything, and he, because he was around in Avon Fair, he just loves it that he's still there and that he's doing so well. But he obviously loves big sports fan again, so he really enjoys hearing about it. And then if Dad's over, he'll put games on for him, so he's still very much interested in it, which is great. And it was such a huge part of our lives as a family.
And what a legacy Jim left. Not only would there not be a club if it wasn't for Mr. Belfast, but the legacy that he left behind, we don't know whether it's that actual legit thing, but we call it the Jim Gillespie cause, that these players, you know, they either have it in their contract or they're told very, very quickly when they get into Belfast that you have to be part of the community. You have to be going out, like Smo going out to the Children's Hospice the other week. All these things that the players do for no reward other than they want to be part of the Belfast community. And that's a legacy of Jim.
Yeah, I know that it was really important to him that to be part of something that gave back to community, and that you can't just take from the community, you have to give as well. And overall, Jim was a very quiet person, but he was a very, very kind person. He is, if I'm sorry.
He is
a very kind, terrible. He's a very kind person, but it always was under the radar. It was never big gestures or look at me. Like for a lot of time, nobody would have known who Jim was. He sat in the seat. There were times he wanted to go downstairs maybe to see someone and he couldn't have got down, and he would never have said, like, listen up, I'm the team, let me down the stairs. Like, he would never have done that. So it's great that his memory and the thing that he wanted that the Giants to do, to be in the community, is still going. And I think as long as some of the people that are there are still there, and Robert's a big believer in it too, so it's great to have Robert back in it as well, as like Adam and Forts and Brooksy, all those people that were around the Giants time. Carrying it on. It's a very special place.
I know, and you're very self-effacing there, Laura, because you've mentioned Brooksy and Adam and Thorts and Robert and all those people that put their shoulder to the wheel and that do their little bit. But I think you'll not thank me for saying a lot of this stuff. It doesn't happen without you, Laura. So we'll not go any further than us as a fan base saying thank you to you for all you do for the club and for all the kids that are involved. I've seen it firsthand on many occasions. You light people's lives up, so we thank you for that. And thank you for pass on our regards to Uncle Jim.
And I will, surely.
We'll
thank
hopefully
you.
See him before Christmas.
Yes, hopefully. Thank you very much for your time and for helping promote this. It's a really special cause.
Thanks very much to Laura. I'm actually going to say something here because I felt a bit of shame talking about it last week, because I have signed up for a donor card and I have done for a long time. But one thing I hadn't done, and one thing I probably should have done, was give blood. And out of the fact that we were talking about it last week, I signed up, and on Thursday I'm going to go to Sale Rugby Club and give blood for the first time. I have to say, a little bit anxious, because I'm not great with needles, never have been, but despite the fact that that's the case, it's such an important thing to do and something that I like to have on my own schedule on a more regular basis. So definitely something that people should get involved with, because if I can sign up for it, now let's be fair, I've not gone yet, you know, I have to come out of work and drive there yet, but if I can sign up to it, I'm sure everybody else can.
I've given blood and I'll hopefully do it again. I always had this thing about giving blood, and it was always on a Friday, and it was like, I want to give blood, and then I got football on Saturday. It was always that wasn't an excuse, it was always just something in my head made me think I wouldn't perform as well the next day. But you know, the career's winding down, let's be honest, boys, you know. So I think I'll have a few pints.
I hear City need a centre half.
That'll not be me, mate. But we'll go back to what you're saying there. And, you know, you can, there's actually, you know, organ donations, live organ donations, which is a big, big commitment, you know. And then there's obviously, I personally think that signing up to an organ donation register is a big thing. You know, it's very, very easy to do, but it's a big decision. Talk to your family about it. We talked to Laura about that during the chat there. You know, it's important that even if you haven't signed up to a donor register, that maybe if you've spoken to your family and that time happens when you're least expecting it, that, you know, your family will know that it was your wishes and stuff. And it's a difficult subject. Let's not skirt around it either. But, you know, it also led us nicely towards a little chat about Jim Gillespie and all the things that Laura has done for the club. Absolutely. And continues to do over the year. Just need to see her earlier on out having dinner there with some of the ones she looks after. The amount of kids that she puts a smile on their face and goes way over and beyond what is necessary. And, you know, she will not thank us for this, for platitudes or talking about her, but she really is one of a kind, lads.
Joel, just briefly, let you have your say on the topic. It's such an important one, and Laura does some fantastic work.
It is. And Paddy, similar to you, I'm going to just completely come clean. I'm not signed up to an organ donor register. I have never given blood. I mean, I'm someone, you guys know, I've got a bunch of tattoos and I'm getting tattooed fairly regularly. And it's an old sort of, an old thing that I've heard since forever, but I've never actually educated myself on. They say if you've had a tattoo within a certain amount of time, you can't give blood, blah, blah, blah. My problem is just lack of education. And it's quite nice that the show is shining a light on this, because it's prompted me to go and learn and to actually get it sorted. You know, as you guys say, it's something that you can very easily throw an excuse in front of. But look, I may be the most disorganized person in the world, but from hearing it kind of close to home on the show last week and with Laura tonight, it's something that I want to learn more about and to have that conversation with my family. I want to get signed up to a donor register, and I want to actually find out if I can give blood, because if I can, I'm obviously okay with needles, so I might as well do it for a constructive reason as opposed to getting stupid tattoos, you know.
I'm going to set a little challenge here. If you go and I don't mean this in a nasty way, go educate yourself, because I don't know. I remember when I got my tattoo at first, for the love of my country, I remember that it said something that, you know, you can't give blood now for X amount of time or whatever. And I did subsequently go and give blood. But if you can, we'll set a little, because I know Sez does. You've said you will, I will, Paddy will. So there's the four of us. We'll set a little target for the season.
Yep.
And we'll see if we can tick it off.
Who can donate the most?
No, just even like, I assume you can donate every couple of months.
Let's see by the end of the season, between the four of us, how many pints of blood we've donated.
Do you know what it is? It's not whether I can or whether I can't. It's that I've never actually bothered to find out for sure. Yeah. And that's what I want to change, you know?
Yeah. Only I can turn Kevin Blood into a competition.
Yeah, I know. You want to make it interesting? Do you want to put a bit of money on it? Or?
before we get stuck into the actual hockey, Davey, what's the website? Oh, great. I thought you had that lined up.
Organ Donation NI.
Just Google Organ Donation.
.info.
Organ Donation NI.
NI.info.
And if that's not right, Google.
Pretty sure it's organdonation.info. We put a little clip from last week's show,
yes,
on Twitter, and it has it on that. So
go and look on Twitter.
Go and look at it.
It's 2019. Just go and find it, Flipsy. You don't have to tell you.
It's the sort of information you get from us here at A View from the Bridge. Right, let's go.
Right.
Go on.
Fell there, boys.
I'm a stat
blood.
I'm the stat man.
I stopped that one. I will be this one.
Oh, baby.
Still filling, Davey. Come on.
Oh, baby.
I'll try it. Oh, no, I know.
Oh, baby.
It's descended into chaos from the off this week. Like,
what do you got, Davey?
Nah, I don't have anything. I think it's organdonation.ni.info.
All right, okay. Let's get stuck in Let's get stuck into the games. The Belfast Giants return to domestic competition with Challenge Cup and Elite League action on Saturday and Sunday. A mixed weekend and a lot of action to talk about. We'll start with that game at the SSE Arena against the Glasgow Clan. Challenge Cup action for the Giants in retention of that trophy. It was also the night when the Elite League banner went to the rafters of the SSE Arena. But it was a 6-1 victory for your Belfast Giants. Giants goals came from a shorthanded one from Ward, a power play goal from Smotherman. Hamilton, Morgan, Long and Leonard rounding out the goals for the Giants. The only goal for the Clan came from Scott Pitt on the power play. Regards to goalies, Shane Owen, 23 shots against, one goal against. Killeen, 38 shots against, six goals against. And your referees were Stephen Hogarth and Andy Dalton. Missing from the game for the Giants was Liam Reddix and Jesse Forsberg. Joel, I'll start with you on this. A comprehensive victory for your Belfast Giants.
Yeah, going to use the coach's term. It was a complete team performance. Absolutely awesome to see six different names on the score sheet. And the only time the Giants conceded was on a 5-on-3, which I'm sure we will talk about. Again, that's something I've been rabbiting on about, sorry, Davey, since the start of the... since the start of preseason, the penalty kill was sensational. Did you just have that? The penalty kill once again, sensational. I feel like it's becoming a real focal point of this Giants team. I feel so confident whenever we're on the kill, and it's now the number of guys that are contributing to that. The coach mentioned it in his post-game interview. I've talked about Kevin Rain being the quarterback of that kill unit, but you can throw anybody on, and it's more the ethos as opposed to the abilities of individual players. Yeah. Kill unit was 5-for-6 during the game, and the one goal was a 5-on-3. And not only that, they scored a shorty. Lewis Hook tore off from that red line like a whippet.
He's been doing that a lot, actually. A lot of breakaways for Hook at the minute.
His jets have upgraded, I think, in the past season or so. And if he tightens up, if he maybe sharpens that finish a little bit more, you're looking at, honestly, we've said it before, but Lewis Hook's best years are in front of him still. And it just goes to show he obviously intended to play it off the backboards. He knew Wardy was crashing down behind him. So he thought, you know, I'll slap this to the left and Wardy will finish. Let's go with that. That sounds good. But Lewis Hook is not far away from being an electric Brit. He already contributes. He already has fantastic jets. But yeah, look, I couldn't be more happy. To be honest, the Clan were not much of an opponent. You know, we limited their zone time to the extreme. They just could not set themselves up in the Giants' D zone. The Giants' high press completely suffocated them for the duration of that. And to be honest, I think Killeen was hung out to dry by that defense for the majority of the game. But listen, no complaints. Great start.
Interesting point there from Joel, Davey, on the performance of the Clan. A number of those players quite highly rated when they came in, but they seem a bit disjointed. I'm not taking away from what was an excellent performance from the Belfast Giants, but the Glasgow Clan themselves just didn't, at times, couldn't string passes together.
Disjointed was the very word I was going to use, Patrick. That's just, you know, we won all three periods. We put them under pressure at key times. Right from the get-go, I think we were pretty strong. And surprisingly, it took us to get a shorthanded goal to get us going. And, you know, Joel's already talked about the goal, but Brian Ward at the weekend just keeps crashing in there looking for rebounds. And he's going to get his rewards over the season, 3 points on the night. But, you know, for them to come up with really nothing that overly stretched Shane Owen apart from on the 5-on-3, which I know Simon Kitchen's got plenty to say about.
That's coming.
You know, I think that Kiefer will be pretty pleased the way the goals were spread around the team. And, you know, especially we are playing, you know, short and injured in different places. And, you know, pretty decent performance for your first home game in domestic action after being on that bit of a CHL road trip, if you want to call it that, you know, away for guts of a week from home, and happy enough to start off with that. And, you know, as you say, it's very, very difficult to come up with anything sort of any decent platitudes about the Glasgow Clan because they were stinking on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. I was
a wee bit sorry for Fitzy there in that.
Yeah,
he's came in and he's trying to maybe, you know, it's his first coaching job. I don't know whether he was assistant coach anywhere before, and and any of his previous teams there? What is, you know, was he doing any, you know, assistant coaching with the role, or whether he stepped up just straight from playing into that kind of role, which happens quite a lot in the Elite League. Not always successfully. We wish him very well. Obviously, you don't want anyone, want everyone to be successful in their job, except when they're playing against you. But, you know, that team needs something else. It doesn't. It just doesn't have that, you know, as Neil Russell would call it, doesn't have any X factor in there at the moment.
I was quite surprised by Fitzy's reaction in the post-game interview. Of course, he's not going to come out and throw his team under the bus because it's only the opening weeks of the season. But Joel, he came out a lot more positive from a 6-1 thrashing than I really expected.
It was confusing to me too, and I'm still not sure how to read it. You know, it's still very early in the season, but this is a team that had started domestically 1-2. The Dundee Stars had absolutely whipped them around the place for a big four-pointer to open their season. I know that it's tough to come on the road and to play in Belfast, especially coming off a CHL run whenever your games have been domestic so far. And that's not to undermine our own league, but I do think that the Giants just had that jump on them. They've been playing hockey at a much more intense pace. There are mitigating factors that you could maybe point to. But I guess, Paddy, what else is he supposed to do? You know, he has to put on that brave face and say, look, this will come good. And if it was Adam Keefe, you know, he would hold his hands up and say, look, I've got things to learn. There were things that we didn't do right. But, you know, what do you achieve by saying, yeah, we sucked, you know?
That's very true. About 5-on-3. Now, I want to talk about refereeing myself as well when we come to the Storm game, but I bow to the superior knowledge and intellect, especially of the game, and the words you're about to hear come from Mr. Simon Kitchen.
I just wanted to drop a wee message in with regards to the officials in the last couple of weeks. It needs to improve. The whole season, I understand it's the start of the year. I understand slashing's being called. I understand holding the stick and holding calls are all going to be enforced. That's absolutely fine. No issue about whatsoever. I also agree with the penalty that the Giants got on Saturday night for too many men on the ice. But then to pick up a call, to make it a 5-on-3 for a full 2 minutes for the Clan, just because a player turned around and said, "Oh, for f*** sake, catch yourself on," is an absolute joke. This needs to stop. Referees need to have a thicker skin. Andy Dalton, I said to him after the match and show on Saturday night that I thought it was a joke, and I'm not going to change my mind right now. And I told him I was going to give him a pelt. There's no way I'm going to podcast on Tuesday night. Obviously, I'm not going to be there all nil night tonight. But Andy, you really need to catch yourself on that call. I think it's an absolute joke. The whole league has improved over the last couple of years. It's got faster. The referees, you know, it's not an easy job. Don't get me wrong, I have no interest in doing it. Absolutely none whatsoever. But it needs to improve. These stupid, stupid calls that players are getting at this level, it happens in every single league all over the world. Every one of them. You know, there's emotions get up and things are said, but they just need to be, guys, okay, catch yourself on, away you go. And just ignore it. If it had been anybody else, he probably would have ignored it. But the problem is, these calls are going to start stopping top quality players coming to this league. The league has got better and better and better. Last year was the best it's ever been in the AHL. And not just because the Giants won the league, but I'm talking about throughout the league itself. The whole system with regards to the officials, whether it's on the ice or off ice, needs to improve. Mike Kitch is doing a great job regarding the operations side of things. There's no doubt about that. Luke Fisher's doing a brilliant job with regards to the media side of things. It's definitely improving. And the new system that they've brought in, which is live and we can get on Giants TV, is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But this side of things is the only thing that's not moving forward, in my opinion. I might be the only one you guys can discuss, but I think it really does need to take a massive step up, because we want it to keep on continuing to get better at every single level. But this is going to stop players coming to this country. I was chatting to a top player in the Belfast Giants today. I was in Cargo Coffee for lunch with Half, and this is a newcomer to the league, and he was saying the same thing to me today. Taff was also mentioned last week in the podcast about how good the officiating was in the CHL game between the Giants and Augsburg in Germany. That's the level we need to get to. But players and officials, yes, I know they've all got difficult jobs. I know emotions get up, but I thought that was an absolute joke. With regards to Sunday's game and Dupuy getting that penalty, Liam Sewell, he's had an absolute stinker there. How can you get an interference call when he's holding the bloody puck on a stick and the Storm guy's putting him under pressure? That leads to the Storm's goal. Absolute joke. That's all I'm saying in that matter.
He did say to Dulce that he'd said, so here, there you have it. Davey, the 5-on-3 and the reasons behind it that led to their goal, do you agree with Sis?
Yes, I guess I agree with Sam to a certain extent. He's put a very, very good argument together. And I've always been the defender of the Stripies on this show, and I'll stick with that because, you know, I'll say it again, without them, there just isn't a game. But, and this is a big but, underlined.
And I like big butts.
I can't lie, mate.
God.
You know, sorry, Joel.
It's like listening to dads. It is listening to dads.
That's what we are, mate. That's what we are.
It comes to us all.
Yeah. Where were we? Yeah, look, if it's a little bit of blue language, you have to accept in an industry like that, any sport where passions are up and heckles are up and there's been a call that, you know, too many men call, obviously there's a lot of frustration about in the bench when that happens as well. To say, you know, for, you know, beep beeps, it can't put another team on a 5-on-3. Okay, it hasn't killed us that night. It's we've conceded a goal. It's cost us a goal, ultimately, which, you know, won't please the coaching staff, won't please the players, won't please the fans, you know. So the referees are part of the game, but people aren't paying in to see them. And I don't want to go too much into it. Simon has said it all perfectly, to be quite honest with you.
What sort of effect do you think it has on the game, Joel?
That is honestly my core point here. I was sort of thinking about it earlier. Whenever I kind of heard that clip from Simon, which is excellent. But I mean, I guess kind of like Davey and maybe yourself to a degree, Paddy. I'm a pro ref guy. Like guys like Dulles, guys like Hoagie, they're good guys. They're guys who love hockey. You couldn't do that job and not love your hockey. It's a tough job and it's very thankless. But to me, and I've said this before, I'm sure in previous seasons, but there's a difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Policing the game by the letter of the rule book impacts the quality of the product, and that's what we saw there. To me, a good referee, to a certain extent, takes their interpretation of the rules and places them, you know, evenly, fairly in the context of the game that they're refereeing. And to me, unsportsmanlike is open to that interpretation, especially when it lands aside in a full 2 minutes of 5-on-3. You see, if you go on YouTube and you watch any AHL, NHL mic'd up video, the refs are communicated with in the exact same manner as what we're talking about here, but they give it right back. And in fact, moreover, the frankness of the referee's communication then helps the players to toe the line. The players know where the refs stand, and if they screw up, it's on them. There are fewer surprises coming the players' way, and that makes for a more flowing game. Like, and I know I'm not just saying that a ref should take his or her interpretation of the entire rule book. There are infractions that you must call down the middle for safety reasons, major penalties, whatever. And if you apply that kind of ethos, it must be applied on both sides fairly. But my example here, it's something that was always said about Tom Darnell, especially in his earlier years. He lets the boys play. And it's that phrase, he lets the boys play. I used to look forward to a Darnell game, especially around like 2012 onwards to about 2015, whatever, over anyone else, because I knew that the focal point of the night would be the hockey and not some dumb call or some call out of nowhere that disrupts the flow of the game. You know, I'm trying to be constructive in what I'm saying there, and I know that there's a big rule book and there's a lot, it happens at a very fast pace, but I think there's a way to do it that involves interpretation and using the spirit of the law as opposed to just, well, the rule says that, so you're in for 2 minutes.
I think it's certainly something that we'll come back to when we talk about the Storm. In fact, let's talk about the Storm. On the Sunday, the Belfast Giants travelled to Altrincham, to what I affectionately known as the Drizzle Dome, Planet Ice in Altrincham, to take on the Manchester Storm in their first game against them this season. First Elite League game for the reigning champions, and unfortunately, an overtime 2-1 defeat. The only goal coming for the Giants from Curtis Hamilton, and for the Storm, Lane Omer on the power play, Jared Allen in overtime 54 seconds into overtime after Jean Dupuy had hit the post. Bit of a scuffed play, went back of the net past Chiennon and give the full 2 points to the Storm, the Giants picking up just the one. Regards to the goalkeeper, Chiennon, 30 shots against, one goal against. Matt Ginn, 35 shots against, one goal against. I'm not convinced of those shots on Chiennon, you know. I don't think Chiennon faced a single shot for the first 12 minutes of the game, so I'm surprised it's as high as 30. Anyway, referees, which I'll come to, Tom Perring, Liam Sewell, missing Jesse Forsberg, Liam Reddix, and Patrick Mullen, who didn't play the third period in Belfast the night before and was missing for this trip. The game was preceded, we spoke about this last week, but the game was preceded by an excellently observed 1 minute silence for the sad loss of Vicky Thomas, Davey.
Yeah, impeccably observed, and of course they obviously had their own tribute as well in Sheffield over the weekend for a very highly regarded lady around the game, around those two clubs and around the league, clearly, and you know, for a very highly regarded family as well. Sad times. And we, as we did last week, we wish the Thomas family every success going forward. And I know that there'll be plenty of support in Manchester and Sheffield and beyond for them. But, you know, we move on to the Manchester game. And as you said, you know, you were there, Paddy. You'd be much better placed to talk about it here. We'll throw this back to you. I thought, as you've sort of alluded to, this game could have been dead and buried in the first 15 minutes. Unfortunately, the Giants just couldn't take a... I think we've had a post there in the first few minutes as well. If we'd came out from that first period, maybe with a bit of a healthier lead, it might have been a bit of a different game. But what was your take on it?
Dominant, mate. I thought we dominated the game to a large extent. There were periods of time when the Storm obviously had their ascendancy, but more often than not, the Giants had them pinned in their own zone, but just couldn't find that finish. I thought Matt Ginn, as the game went on, had a better game than he did early on. He had a bit of a flap at things. I thought the goal for Hamilton, again, needs to take a large response. A lovely strike, a lovely shot from the right-hand side, but let's be fair, Matt Ginn's not screened. Curtis Hamilton's winding up for quite a bit of time before he hits it. He's in wide open space. It just goes straight through Ginn. You could see how angry he was. I think he must have shook his head about it for the next 5 minutes. But after that, the Storm got a little bit tighter. In the post games, you heard from the guys about how tight a rink and how difficult it is to play there, because there's just sticks in the way, and it's, you know, players not so much trying to have a, you know, some sort of tactical defense of just being a spoil, get in the way, just crowd around the net, just make as little space as you can possibly make. And it worked for them in a big way. The Giants were passing it around the outside, taking shots on the outside, and not really getting all the way to Ginn. But anything that Ginn did see after that, he was saving. The goals, well, I despair on the Ulmer power play goal, because I am adamant that the call that put, I think it was Dupree actually, the call that put him in the box was an interference call. I'm convinced he had the puck. I don't know how you can call it, but it's a stretch pass going straight down through the middle. It goes on the stick. He shoulders him off and carries on. They get with the puck, and the referee calls an interference. And from that, they score in the power play to make it 1-1. And then going into overtime, that goes all the way through the overtime. Going to the overtime, Dupree again has the chance to finish it on the left-hand side, smashes it hits the outside of the, dings the outside of the post. They go up the other way. There's a bit of a scuff play. Players on their backside, and it comes to the stick of Owen, who puts it in the backhand in the back of the net. And they take the full 2 points, and credit to them. You know, they celebrated like they won the Stanley Cup, but, you know, credit to them. You know, it's the game against the champions. You saw how Norwich City celebrated when they beat Man City on Saturday. You know, it was more or less the same thing in Altrincham on Sunday. And no doubt it's a big thing for them, because, you know, they've had a tough in pre-season. They've had a few tough games. So with the champions coming into their barn, they wanted to make a mark, and they certainly did that. But I think the Giants can hold their head up high, mate, because regardless of the result, I actually think there are a hell of a lot of positives from a team. There were three, and, you know, we're missing Forsberg, Reddix, Mullen, two guys on the back end. I thought the D were pretty solid. I thought going forward, we had a hell of a lot of chances. And am I disappointed with the result? 100%. Am I disappointed with the performance? Not in the slightest.
obviously sort of halfway through the second period, Sean Dupuy called for interference. They score on, he get called for roughing, and then as soon as he's out, sort of, they've obviously had a chat when they're in the box, and Mathieu Gagnon and Jean Dupuy have a little tilly, as Jill would call it.
It was on my side of the rink. So anybody that's been to the DD knows that if anything's on your side of the rink, you're not really seeing it very well, because not only have they done away with the screens don't work anymore, but so anything on your side of the rink, you're not seeing. So it was, I'll say that I didn't see a lot of the fight because it was on my side of the rink and most people stood up, that just obscured. So you had to go right down to the front. I've subsequently watched it on video, and fair play to Jean Dupuy. We'll hear from him later on. Fair play from Jean Dupuy. You know, Gagnon's a big unit with a reputation and used to this sort of thing, and he's throwing big digs. Dupuy stays on his feet and then levels him with a left that puts him on his backside. You know, you got to credit Gagnon, obviously hurting from it, got up and give it the big, you know, champion's belt and wave him to the crowd, wanting to get his own team fired up. The game was a bit feisty. It had its moments, but that's exactly what Storm's game is, and it worked for them. But credit to Dupuy. I thought he was excellent, and he came back into the game and he could have won it.
Joel, one of the little nuances, obviously, from, you know, being around the Elite League, we play a lot of games on the 200-foot ice and other rinks that are, you know, smaller. We call them that. Smaller.
Very compact, diplomatic.
Different sort of setup, the locker rooms and that kind of thing. Just how much of a, you know, a factor is that, do you think, from the Giants have played their first 8-9 games on the big ice, and all of a sudden the guys have been thrown into that wee rink?
It's definitely a factor. Can I just start by saying that I am beyond glad that I don't have to watch hockey on that ice pad every week. It's so disjointed and so claustrophobic. There's very little space to be creative. But the small ice is definitely a huge factor, and it was in this game. It curtails what you can do in open ice. It curtails what you can do on an offensive zone cycle. To win games like that, you need to get gritty. You got to go to dirty areas, go to the corners. You got to find ways to get on the net with very little build-up play. The thing is, and Paddy said it there, and that's maybe what's so frustrating, the Giants did that. They played the fringes really well. They dumped and chased. They dug the puck out of the corners. And that's what hurts. I think we should have been 3-0 up in that first period. I thought we should have won. I don't think the Manchester Storm really arrived into the game until the third period. To give Mac Guinness due, he was excellent. There were a couple of fantastic reflex saves there. But the Giants were just throwing everything at that game. And just sometimes you don't have the rub of the green. Sometimes it's just not your night regardless. You know, there were bodies down blocking shots on the kill. We were down, as you guys say, Forsberg, Reddix, Mullen. Dupuy showed the passion with that tilt. Super impressive. And to lose it in overtime the way that we did was a heartbreaker. I'm going to take a point on the road. A point on the road is gold dust, and it can be literally the difference between a championship and coming second at the end of the season. But I felt a little bit robbed that we didn't come out of Manchester with a full 2 points.
It hasn't been a particularly happy hunting ground for us over the last...
Yep. I agree with you. It's just a point I was going to come in with, the fact that the last time we played there, we lost, and we lost pretty badly when we were chasing a title. And thankfully, you know, we were able to still pick up that title. It's been a very difficult place to play because the Storm, they train there, they play there, they know that ice, they know exactly how to play inside those boards, and they utilize what they have to make it a difficult place to play. You know, are they going to pull up trees this season? I don't think so. Are they going to be a difficult team to play in that rink? 100%. And the Giants are going to probably, you know, they've been renowned, the Storm, since they've come back into the league, have taken points off the Giants at least once or maybe twice a season. And this is just another case of it. No doubt, you know, first Elite League game of the season, 1 point on the road, you know, regroup. We'll go back into the SSE next week and we'll go again. And on that point, if you want to get the excellent game reports from Mr. Neil, the highlights and the post-game interviews, kingdomofthegiants.com for all of that information. Right, let's go for a few of interviews from training. Mr. Simon Kitchen, who you heard from earlier on, popped out training today and had a chat with Mr. Swindlehurst and Mr. Long.
Paul Swindlehurst, day off today, and you're still in the rink. What are you up to this morning? We got some press stuff for organ donation and blood donation around Northern Ireland. And then around 1:30, we're on the ice with Blake and Dylan for a little skate about because Dylan's been medically cleared to go on the ice to play some hockey. So it'll be his first time back on the ice in a very, very long time.
Never get a day off, so you know.
Never day, get a day off, but it keeps me out of trouble, so I'm happy with that.
The weekend, mixed fortunes for the Giants, coming out with a home victory, 6-1 demolition of the clan. It was a dominant performance. You must have been happy the way the boys came out to play, and obviously playing a big part of that because we lost Pat Mullen after not very long into the second period.
Yeah, you can't have anything to ask for anything more from the home opener. 6-1 against Glasgow. It was a solid game from everybody, and halfway through the game we lost Mully, so we went back down to 5D, and the boys pulled through and they worked hard for us. So to get 6-1 for the home opener is good. And Sunday, it just wasn't meant to be. Obviously, going into Manchester is a very hard building, small ice, everything happens a bit quicker. We were short bench too. Got a few bodies out at the minute, but yeah, it's always a tough game when you're going to Manchester, and for it to get to overtime, it's always a lottery who gets it then.
You lost the first game last year, went on to end up champions, but you picked up a point this weekend. As you said, it's always difficult to play against Manchester and O'Barn. You know that because you played there for a couple of seasons too.
Yeah, obviously it's tiny ice, everything happens a bit quicker. Manchester have got a good, fast team this year. But yeah, it's good to get the ball rolling, see what the league's like, and it should be a really good season for us.
Looking forward to this week. We've got Dundee in the Challenge Cup and then Nottingham at home on Sunday. Two teams again that you've played for. You've been around a while, haven't you?
Yeah, I know. I've played for a few teams in the league, but I'm happy here and I kind of want to stay here, so I'll have to keep it that way. But yeah, this weekend there'll be a big challenge. Dundee seem like a good team, and obviously Nottingham are always a good team in the league. So it's nice to get a few more games under the belt and see where we end up.
And just joining, I didn't recognise this guy when he came in through the door there with a new bonnet, new haircut, Kieran Long. Kieran, you picked up your first goal for the Giants on Saturday night against the Clan. Must have enjoyed that one.
Yeah, it's nice. It's always nice to get the first one off the bat. Felt like I was having a monkey on my shoulder for a little bit, but finally got him off. But yeah, it's nice, but it's more important we got the win, and that's the main focus, is winning the games and hopefully get a good shot at the title again this year.
And then obviously Manchester, you were Manchester last year. What sort of reception did you get from the Storm fans?
Yeah, no, it was a really nice reception. I've made some good relationships there with the fans. But yeah, it was kind of sucked, obviously, because we lost. But yeah, it was nice to see some familiar faces and a few of the boys that I played with last year.
Challenge Cup action upcoming on Saturday, Dundee at home, and then Nottingham away. Sorry, Nottingham home as well, my apologies, double header at home. But another two tough games upcoming.
Yeah, definitely. Like every year in this league, every team can beat every team on any given night. So we just got to keep doing what we're doing, keep the pace that we brought from the CHL, and hopefully we'll be successful if we keep that the high speeds we're doing.
Cheers to Swinney and the Longer. Around the league, it's a few points. Mixed Scottish road trip for the Nottingham Panthers. It was they had a 5-1 win in Dundee and a 4-2 defeat in Fife, with Adam Morrison backstopping the Flyers to their third straight win after a 4-1 win for them in Coventry the night before. I think Adam Morrison picked up the Elite League Player of the Week on the back of how he's been playing recently. But one of the most entertaining results of the weekend came in Dundee. The Stars came from 4-1 down to take a point at home to the Sheffield Steelers in a 6-5 overtime defeat. But Brendan Connolly was somewhat the villain of the piece for Sheffield, having got himself two simultaneous minor penalties for cross-checking and charging. But this was 5 seconds after John Armstrong was sent to the bin for holding, where he joined Jonathan Phillips in there. So Connolly's antics were actually while his team were already defending a 5-on-3. Subsequently, Dundee scored two goals that dragged them from 4-1 to 4-3 and back into the game in a big way. We'll hear from Omar Pasha later, but Davey, Brendan Connolly's renowned for having we've seen it ourselves.
You know, you take the rough with the smooth with Collins. There's no coincidence that he's had so many teams in the last number of years. You know, he comes in, he's just certainly a very, very talented hockey player. Just take nothing away from him. Very, very talented guy. But unfortunately, he comes with that little bit of baggage that he's just a little bit undisciplined, or maybe a lot undisciplined. and he's certainly cost his team probably a point there on the night. Well, not that they've obviously gone on one, but I mean, he's given the opposition a point.
He gave the opposition a point. I think it cost them a regulation win, certainly, which we know in this league can be very important when it comes down to the final standings. It could be down to regulation wins. But yeah, I think it's also a highlight of what Cons can be like. Clan saw it. We saw it. I guess Sheffield are going to see it as well. Cardiff, like us, opened their account in both competitions this weekend with wins over Guildford in the Cup and Clan in the Elite League. Poor Clan, Joel, had to endure a banner raising in Belfast and in Cardiff and two losses.
The hockey gods can be cruel sometimes, can't they? Look, the Brayhead, formerly Brayhead, now Glasgow Clan, are a team that I have ragged to bits for a long time. A lot of things I think.
Oh, but you had a lovely chummy interview with Gav Chalmers last week, didn't you? Oh, I ragged him to bits, so yeah.
A lot of things I think these days they're doing very well. I think they're organizing themselves in the back room. And I've said it before, I think that team has the potential. They're a sleeper in this league. And if they got their business together on ice, they could be contenders for silverware. But look, that's a tough haul to have to go around the banner presentations. They're a team that can come good, but I'm very interested to see how the Fitzgerald era goes on ice.
Selecting a few fixtures from this weekend coming. Clan go back to Cardiff on Saturday before they go to Sheffield on Sunday, obviously opening their season more or less on the road. The Omar Pasha Derby is on Sunday as a Storm travel to Dundee to take on the Stars. And then the Cup, Cardiff return to Coventry for the first competitive game in the Sky Dome since, well, I don't need to tell you when.
Take 22, this is Jason Taff-Ellery, listening to... Oh, Take 26, this is Jason Taff-Ellery, listening to A View from the Bridge, the best podcast in the Elite League.
Time for the fan agenda brought by our friends at Belfast Giants TV. Okay, next up, we had Shane on last week and this week by a man who just hit the outside of the post in overtime. It could have been so different. He had such a hell of a game on Sunday. It was Jean Dupuis. How are you doing, mate?
Good. How are you guys?
All good here. All good. Before we get into chatting about the weekend, what's your experience been like in Belfast so far?
It's been wonderful. Beautiful city. Gotten the chance to walk around a little bit downtown, try out a couple of different pubs. The live music aspect of it all is pretty incredible.
The live music aspect, that's your thing, is it? Do you like a bit of live music?
Yeah, that's the ambiance I find, and you know, everybody's having a good time. No, it's great. It's really great so far. Really enjoying it.
Well, what about on the ice? Has it been what you expected?
Yeah, it's great. We have a great group of guys. It's fun to go to the rink every day. And I think we've been clicking pretty good so far. And just keep working at it.
John, it's David here. 10 games, as Paddy says there. You're in the Northern Ireland and you've had 10 games under your belt. Obviously a nice road trip across into Europe there as well. How are you settling in? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I love it so far. Like I said, we have a great group of guys. So it makes it really fun to go to the rink. I think the way we've been playing, the way we've been competing, and especially our showing in the Champions League, other than that one game in Czech, but I think we proved that we can play. So it's fun, especially when you're in a winning culture, winning team, and everybody enjoys coming to the rink. It makes for the perfect world.
Yeah, the one game I go to. Cheers for that one. But We had Taff on last week. Just from a player's perspective, obviously you arrived very late into the Czech Republic. Okay, you just get to head to the hotel and get your head down for a few hours. But Taff there then heads off to the rink, has everything sitting, stays up half the night, so everything's sitting. Just give a little insight from a player. What's it like to have a guy like Taff having your back?
It's incredible. Those guys are the unsung heroes. They make it so easy for us, and hopefully nobody ever takes it for granted. I know, especially after this trip, we all came back to the rink, getting my hand up back and everything, but he's the man. He keeps the team running, keeps us going. Great dude all around too. Enjoy being around his presence. But on any team, trainers, you know, doctors, physios, everybody who's in the dark, they keep the ship running. So we really, really appreciate him, and you know, he's the man.
Dibs, I want to ask you about your first weekend on the road domestically. Going over to, as Patrick Smith calls it, the Drizzle Dome over in Altrincham. Having played in some of the kind of coolest rinks around Europe and obviously in the facilities that we have in the SSC Arena, what was it like to go into a very, very different barn? You know, it must be a bit of a shock to the system.
Yeah, the rink's a little smaller, that's for sure. So everything happened a little quicker, but I think that's part of the experience. You know, you get to experience different rinks, different sizes, different atmospheres. You know, it's a little darker in there. Things happen a little quicker. Their fans are right on top of you. Of course, yeah, it's not like our facilities, but you know, you got to play the game. And, when you get put into an environment like that, you got to adapt quickly. You know, we're going to play there a lot more time, so you're going to have to figure it out.
And just to touch briefly on the tilt you had with Gagnon, quite a tilly. You guys obviously came together before you went into the box. There seemed to have been a bit of communication during that 2 minutes, and whenever you come out, you drop the gloves. Talk us through just that fight, and especially, I mean, it's something we talked about during the game. You really battled to stay up there and get a swing back in. Just how difficult was that tilt, and did it feel good to land a big one that dropped them?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I didn't really know who he was till after, but it was good. It was his first fight in a while, so at first I was just trying to get my bearings under me, but, you know, he's a good fighter too, so I really had to just dodge him and wait for my chance, but no, that was fun. You know, it's something I enjoyed that I missed, and to get the first one out of the way, get the butterflies and whatnot, and, you know, it was great. Just trying to get the boys going there. It was a dull game, so when you came with the opportunity, I wasn't going to shy away.
You went straight down the tunnel, and you plunked yourself on the table outside the dressing room before you went in. Were you just trying to calm down a bit?
Yeah, I was actually just waiting for ice. But, it's usually how it goes there. The adrenaline's running. And there was still, I think, 2 or 3 minutes left in the second period, so I still wanted to watch what was going on there.
We have we go to Twitter for a couple of questions, but we won't hear from Scott Wallace, who says, what's it to feel like to be back in the game after a year away?
It's incredible. I'd really missed playing, to be honest with you. And like I said, coming to the rink with the group of guys we have, it's there's nothing quite like it, to be honest with you. The environment of a hockey team, and especially when everybody's on the same page and everybody enjoys coming around being each other. So it's a pretty incredible feeling. Yeah, it's really fun.
Did it show much you missed it? Like, obviously there's an itch for the game, yeah, getting exactly back into it.
Honestly, yeah, the last year was pretty tough, having to watch games and practice, and you know, especially the first preseason game, I had butterflies and whatnot. It's like, there's nothing like it. It's just like when you're a kid. So that feeling hasn't dulled away yet. I love it. Yeah.
Sure. Sorry, Dibs. I'm gonna jump back in. I love looking through squads that a player in the Giants has played on. I love how small the hockey world can be. I was checking through just some of the ex-Giants that you've played alongside. You and Patrick Mullen shared the ice in Rochester in 16-17. You actually played with Jerome Leduc, who's a former Giant in 15-16 in Rochester, and also Spiro Galakis, who was a bit of a fan favorite in a very short space of time. Do you have any memories of those guys? And if not, who sticks out in your memory over everyone you've played with as just the biggest beauty in the locker room? Who do you still tell stories about? And are any of those stories tellable on a family podcast?
actually, I didn't even realize Mully was on the team till 2 weeks before I came here. So he gave me a text, and I was like, wow, I was pretty excited to have a familiar face going into it. You know, when we played together, we roomed together when he first came over to Rochester on the road. So I was a little familiar with him, and Jerome too, good guy. There's another guy you guys missed, Bonner, Kyle Bond.
Of course.
Oh yeah, of course, in Toronto, yeah.
So when I was coming here, that's who I was talking with a little bit, trying to get my bearings under me about what to expect and whatnot. And yeah, Brad Yuan is a great guy. Biggest beauty I've ever played with.
And there's been a lot of guys.
Yeah, no kidding. Trying to think here. One guy that stands out more than anyone. Let me think. Some guy that's just hilarious. Oh, Cal. Okay, in Toronto, our goalie, one of our goalies, Calvin Pickard. This guy just made coming to the rink just incredible every day. Like he was funny, witty. Like he could lighten the mood instantly upon arrival.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else just hysterical when you walked in.
We'll have to get the After Dark podcast. We'll have to get the After Dark podcast where you can tell these stories and we don't have to bleep you.
I'm for sure missing a couple of people. I'm for sure missing somebody right off the page that should be obvious, but
another link.
There's never been like a team where, you know, most guys are just light and make it fun to come to the rink with every day. So
yeah.
But biggest beauty. We'll circle back to it. I'll think about it as we go.
Yeah, that's all right. That's for another time. The other major link we obviously haven't talked about is obviously Sheldon Keefe. You've now played for both Keefe brothers as head coaches. He was with you in Sault Ste. Marie and also in Toronto before you came over to play for Adam. How are the brothers similar and how do they differ?
I think they're pretty similar, to be honest with you. It's funny to me, having obviously known Sheldon for a while and coming here and they have almost the same demeanor. It's kind of funny, but...
Which one are you more afraid of?
More afraid of? I don't know if I'm afraid, but... I don't know. I haven't played this Sheldon for so long. Like, just how composed he was. And he's a really good coach, let's put it that way. And just how he thought the game. And obviously, Adam, I'm sure they talk and they exchange experiences and whatnot. I think Adam's a great coach as well, and like I'm sure they feed off each other because, well, you know, things they say and whatnot, and how they go about three games and whatnot. I think it's funny, but I look at it in a, you know, a humorous and pretty. I think it's a pretty cool experience actually. Like I don't know how many people can say they've played for two brothers. I think Bonner might be the only other guy that might be able to say that. But that's actually what we talked about in the summer a little bit. Like, wait till you go meet Adam. Like, it's kind of funny having played for Sheldon too. But I think, I think it's great. I'd be honest with you.
Before we wrap it up, mate, I'll go back to Twitter for a couple of questions. A couple of lighthearted ones. Alex McLaughlin, who's the best at two touch? How's your two touch game?
I do not play two touch. I'm pretty pathetic at two touch. But from who keeps coming to the ring, to the room after? I don't know, apparently Laker's pretty good, but no, I stay away from the soccer game.
Catherine Hughes, you've already asked me how you're settling in the Belfast life, but she asked, what's your favourite Northern Irish delicacy?
Ooh,
what are you eating?
Well, just a Guinness, actually, in general.
No, that's fair enough.
Yeah, that's locked in.
They're pretty tasty.
We're back to domestic action back at the SSE this weekend against the Dundee Stars and Nottingham Panthers. How's the prep going?
Good. A couple of days off here. Get back to work tomorrow and get ready for the weekend. You know, get back on a winning track here.
Fantastic. It's a long season ahead. We appreciate your time, mate, and good luck this weekend.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks again, Dijon. This weekend's games, two home games for your Belfast Giants. First up, Saturday against the Dundee Stars at the SSE Arena in Challenge Cup action, 7 p.m. Get your tickets at belfastgiants.com, Ticketmaster, or Belfast Giants TV with Mr. Kitchen and I guess it's Sheds for the foreseeable. You can watch it there if you're not getting down to the rink. Before we have a look at the game, well, we talked about him earlier on. Let's hear from him. Joel had a chance earlier to chat with Mr. Omar Pasha.
It is always a pleasure to welcome back a friend of the show and one of the nicest guys in UK hockey. Well, I had planned to say that before I answered his call today. Dundee Stars head coach and general manager, Omar Pasha. Pasha, how are you, bud?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Yeah, doing good. Did we catch you at a bad moment or?
No. Just obviously, I know the pecking order, so you probably have all your Giants movies done, and I'll be the last one. I don't know who else you guys are playing this weekend, so I'll probably go after him as well. So.
I'm getting absolutely crushed for being like 10 minutes late to a call, which is fair enough. That's okay. I'll take that on the chin. Listen, it's always good to have you on, Pash. Look, we're only a few weeks into the season, but it's already been kind of something of a roller coaster in Dundee. You had that huge four-pointer over the Clan in the Cup in the kind of opening weekend, and that's given way to a little bit of a dip in form. How's the feeling in the locker room and at practice at the minute?
Yeah, I think the guys are probably, a bit more confident after the game against Sheffield, obviously coming back and, losing in overtime, which, in a penalty that was called in overtime, but having many, many chances to win the game in the third, obviously with that big start against Glasgow, maybe there was an oversight of overconfidence, thinking that it was not necessarily going to be easy, but weekends were always going to be the same. But I think we had a good awakening in the last few weeks, and I think we learned a lot about the team and the group. But I really liked how we played on Sunday, after we scored on our power play and that third period. And we saw that it was maybe the missing a bit of confidence, especially after the first week and everything went so well. And, we lost a bit of confidence after.
Yeah, and I mean, I must say, just from my own point of view, I think the standings are a little unfair because Dundee have rallied. You've been scoring goals. I mean, it's definitely not panic stations anyway.
No, I mean, it's just so early on in the season. I mean, you look at we're the team, I think, that played the most regular season games. And, you look at our Challenge Cup group, we're 2-1. So It's a bit of I think the standings is a bit too soon to look at right now. Yeah. Obviously, we're disappointed at how we started in the season form, but we saw some positives on Sunday. And you know what? There's game-changing moments that happened throughout the last four games that we lost that could have been easily different, and obviously we would have different results. We had a penalty shot in Manchester that if we score that, it's a different game. And there's little moments that you can just see in every single game we lost that if it went our way, the game would have been completely different. And you looked on Sunday, we had a 5-on-3 power play, and we had the same 5-on-3 power play against Nottingham the night before. And on Sunday, we capitalized, and we were able to take it in overtime, and again, maybe a questionable penalty at the end. And so there's a lot of positives to based on. I like the team that we have. I just think with a lot of new players, they always will take a bit of time. And especially when you have a rock solid start, you think maybe new players, you can get overconfident. And I think we were in the last few games, we didn't have much confidence. So it was good to get that back on Sunday.
Yeah, you mentioned your team this year. It's a little bit of a new look side for you. What strikes me is it's young. You've got guys coming straight out of U Sports. It's predominantly Canadian. You've got less of a European influence. Who has emerged early on as your key guys? Who do you think are the ones to watch for you this season?
I think when we based the team, we wanted to add a bit more speed and skill up front, and guys like Borgard, as a perfect example, Alvin Pierce, Kevin Dufour, even a guy like, our only European, Eagles Kanz. And so we were able to add a bit more maybe speed and skill and Dustin Mail in too up front. And, we wanted to go maybe a bit more of a direction where, last year we felt like we lost tight games because we didn't have that depth offensively. So we wanted to add a bit of depth offensively. And in the back, I think we replaced three guys that we wanted to upgrade. And so far our defense, I think has been okay. We still have a lot of work to be done. And our goaltender, we did decide to go with a younger goalie just because of the condensement of the games. And I think, his stats are maybe not relative to how good he is. I think he was, a bit unlucky in the last few games with conceding, but no, all in all, with the roster we have, I think it's just about gelling together as a team and playing to our strengths and our structure. And again, that takes a bit of time, and it's not an easy fix, especially when you get a lot of new guys from everywhere in the world, whether it be U Sports or obviously they're mostly from Canada, like getting them from U Sports or ECHL or. Mm-hmm. Some played in the American Hockey League, some games too last year. So it's kind of fitting that all that mold into here.
And so, like, it's something that if you read, you know, UK hockey social media or the forums or whatever, something that you're often given credit for is your ability to put together these kind of talented teams on what a lot of people would consider to be one of the smaller budgets in the league. Is that like a general perception that you're happy with? Do you take that as a compliment?
You know, I mean, we've had this, you know, smallest budget, whatever, you know, it's been like this for years. And, you know, for me, now as general manager for now this third year, we were able to increase our resources for the last few years. So, you know, we're working really, really hard off the ice to grow our fan base, to grow our, you know, our awareness of the sport in Dundee. And we were able to have their biggest attendance ever in September when we played the Flyers a few weeks back.
Yeah.
So that's positive, and that is just helping the sport grow. We need to, you know, we need to always push the business side to, you know, to increase our budget, because, you know, we want to compete against every single team. So, I mean, yeah, it can be good, and it's always a challenge every season, because, you know, sometimes you face situations where you can't sign a player regarding, you know, a lack of resources or families or stuff like that. But,
yeah,
you know, that's where I challenge myself and to keep pushing this organization. So, you know, we are able to add more to our budget, and we want to increase it. We want to be competitive with every single team. So, again, we have to build a team with what we have, but it doesn't mean it has to stay the same. So it's up to me and the organization, our commercial manager, myself, to keep pushing the business side to always increase. And I feel like we were able to increase our, you know, our team from last year, and we will most likely have a better team.
And back to that team, you're currently top in the Challenge Cup group ahead of your first trip to Belfast this season. What are your keys to the game on Friday night, or Saturday night, sorry? What does it take to beat the Giants in Belfast?
Well, for now, we're still in the process at the start of the week to kind of, you know, fix our mistakes over the course of the last weekend and the few last weekends. And we want to find our defensive abilities back. We want to get back to what we were good at the start, and also things that we need to improve. So a bit the focus is on us at the start of the weekend. After that, you know, I've watched Belfast a few times now, whether it be in the Champions League or, you know, regular season games from this past weekend. And I think there's no secret. I mean, at home, they are a really, really, really good team. And, you know, even in Manchester, I thought they were probably, you know, a team that were a little bit unlucky on the night, because they seemed to outshot them. You know, it's a team that has a lot of grit, a lot of, you know, a team that works their bags off, that has a lot of grit. And, mm-hmm. and obviously there's a lot of offense too there. So, you know, we just need to make sure we bear down a bit better defensively. I mean, you know, we have to be a bit more, minded defensively that we were last weekend, to avoid giving up grade A chances. And, you know, if we're able to cut that down, I think we have a bit more offense than we did last year, and that will help us win hockey games.
So, I mean, obviously, Patch, keeping Dundee competitive across all of the competitions is your job. But if you were pressed, what's your primary focus this year? Are you looking at league position? Are you looking at seedings for a run at the playoffs? Or do you look at the Challenge Cup final as an area where the Dundee Stars could cause an upset? You know, Guildford made it to the final and lost just in overtime to the Giants last year. What would be your main focus?
Well, the main focus is obviously, you know, making the top eight in the playoffs and qualifying for the Challenge Cup. And I think this year it's important for us to, you know, to be very, very competitive and to achieve our goals. You know, just a few weeks back, we were fortunate enough in the newspapers when we beat Glasgow. We were on the top page, even when, you know, Dundee and Dundee United were playing, you know, a derby game. So it just shows there's a lot of awareness of the sport in Dundee. So mm-hmm. if we have success on the ice, that will just help our you know, our club grow. So obviously results will help. And no, but we are realistic. Every game's going to be a challenge, but I say that for us, but I'm sure every single team will say the same thing. So
yeah,
our goal is obviously to make the playoffs, Challenge Cup. But, you know, I don't like to just say this is our goal, this, you know, because that will just undermine maybe the team. I think we have the potential to achieve even more if we, you know, gel together quickly and go from there.
Cheers to Pash. Always good value with the big man. Before we talk about these games as a group, we also play Nottingham Panthers on Sunday at the SSE Arena. Back to Elite League action. Our first Elite League home game of the season. Sunday, 4 p.m. Tickets at Ticketmaster, BelfastGiants.com. And if you can't get down to the game, of course, Giants TV with Sizz. Joel, I'll start with you because we all know Davey loves this section, so I'll leave him in hot anticipation on what he's going to say. But you know, after the disappointment in Altrincham on Sunday night, back into the SSC Arena against Dundee, who you know they've shown against the Sheffield Steelers that they can cause an upsetting comeback, but the Giants will want to hit the ground running once again.
I'm a fan of Pash as a coach. You know, we talked about it a bit in the interview about him. Perceived ability to pull very talented and very cohesive teams from what a lot of people would consider to be a small budget. And to me at the minute, the Stars, you know, thankfully it's a Challenge Cup group game, and with the very creative Challenge Cup format, it's not going to be too much of an ask, as I knock on wood, to get out of that group. You know, you've got six games to not come last.
I'd say, I know we've sketched over it a little bit, but it seems like, especially you look at the Manchester Storm, Nottingham Panthers, Sheffield Steelers group, pointless.
It is completely pointless, and to be honest, it's probably my biggest disappointment this year. I think we're doing the right thing in terms of the league. I think a 10-team straight league where you play each team six times is perfect. I think that's the fairest way to see where the land lies with such a small league. I'm one of these people that defends the Challenge Cup. I think that if it was structured correctly, to me, it's weighted heavier than the playoffs. Our playoffs is a glorified round robin held over one weekend. It's a big event for the fan base. It's good fun, whatever else. But the cup to me has always been more important than the playoffs. And it's just a shame, you know, I think you could take this right back to basics as we have done with the league, and you could have a very engaging cup competition. You could also buy a decent cup as well. at the minute, I think the league is letting
fifth different cup, I think, man.
Yeah, that's it. And the current one is a trophy shop special. Unfortunately, I still miss that fantastic rusted sort of bronzy one that the Nottingham Panthers seem to have stolen and hidden in a cupboard. But it's a shame to me. I want to get behind the Challenge Cup, but the fact remains, I mean, I was so excited to be back at hockey after being away for a week and obviously missing the CHL, but I definitely didn't jump up and scream when the Giants dispatched the Clan as they did, because I knew that it was such a middle of the road, unimportant, if I can say that, game. I think the Challenge Cup could be so... I know it sounds bad, but I think the Challenge Cup could be so much more if the format was rejigged a little bit, especially if you played the bulk of the games early in the season and had that early excitement before the league really begins to ramp up. At the minute, it just feels like we're nearly filling slots so that each team can have more games and fans can come to more hockey games. It just doesn't sit right, but you know, that aside, Stars coming in on Saturday, potential banana skin. They're on a bit of a losing run after having beaten the Clan twice early in the season, and obviously the comeback that you've just talked about there against Sheffield. They're a team that are dangerous on any given night. I respect Passion. I think he's a good coach, and that the Stars are a gritty team. But I'm not entirely worried. As I said last weekend, the real show this weekend is the Nottingham Panthers on Sunday. We need to start banking league points, and you know, I'll take the point on the road, but whenever you come home, whenever you come back into the SSE, these are the points now that you will look at come Christmas and down the stretch, where you think, oh God, if only we'd won this or won that. You know, it's an old cliche in the Elite League, but the points that you bank every single weekend is playoff hockey. You need to start doing it right now if you're going to be in contention for silverware at the end. So Sunday is the only show in town for me. I'm sorry.
On Sunday, Davey, you know, Nottingham Panthers, new coach, new setup. You've got Guy Doucette as a sort of general manager. You've got Tim Walsh at the behind the bench. So a couple of maybe surprising appointments and a new look to your side, who had a difficult weekend last weekend in Scotland against the Dundee Stars and the Fife Flyers. But Nottingham over the last couple of years are maybe trying to find themselves again.
Yeah, the post Cornelison era, I suppose. It was always going to be difficult. It was a guy who, okay, only brought them one league championship, but he brought them a lot of success in cup competitions. And, you know, they're always a hard team to put away. They're always calm, they're big, they're physical. He's always signed a few, you know, the Galacticos, the Facebook Galacticos, as we call them. You know, they always have a few players that are with, you know, big resumes, big names. So, you know, I expect a lot of the same. Both teams that are coming this weekend, you know, can score a lot of goals and are a bit, as the quote Derek Walsh, you know, they're a bit loosey-goosey at the back. So get on the overs, 5.5, both night boys. And
you know, is that in addition to the given blood bet?
we'll see.
taken blood bet, that's what that is.
It's not a no.
I don't particularly like previewing games, as you know, Paddy, but you know, as Joel said, you know, the old hockey cliche, you'll take one game at a time, but my eye is firmly set on Sunday afternoon here.
After those two games, Dundee Stars at the SSC Arena, Challenge Cup action Saturday, 7 p.m. Get yourself down there. And if you can't get down there, Belfast Giants TV. And likewise, the Nottingham Panthers on Sunday, Elite League competition, 4 p.m. at the SSC Arena. Tickets on Ticketmaster or BelfastGiants.com. And if you can't, it's live.BelfastGiants.com for Giants TV with Sizz and Sheds. Any other business, boys?
Yes, just very briefly, just when you talk about Belfast Giants television there, Paddy, I see today they've put out an offer that they're going to be doing a season pass or an on-demand pass. Maybe you can enlighten me further, but that looks like something. There's been a lot of feedback. People want to see longer highlights. People want to see this and that. Well, there's your opportunity. Get yourself a season pass. Watch the games again when you get home.
Yes, I actually don't know the details because I've just mentioned, but it's something that I saw spotted on their website there the weekend. And I can see that if you're I'll get in contact with them and bring it back to you next week. But I think it's like if you're like a Glasgow Clan fan or a Nottingham Panthers fan or a Dundee Stars fan, you can actually buy every single game this season in Belfast for a cut down fee. If you pay in one go, I think it's more like £27 or something like that, and you'll get all three games for a reduced price. And likewise, you can have a full season or you can have an on-demand only and watch it at home later on. Some great initiatives from the guys at Belfast Giants TV. But we've talked about the great work they do time and time again. Joel, you know, the guys put so much effort in there with regards to, you know, Neil and Johnny and Dave Laurie and Sheds and Mr. Simon Kitchen. You know, they're doing a great job this season, and it's a great operation.
Fantastic, and it just keeps going from strength to strength. You know, there are very high quality webcast productions in the Elite League, but for my money, we have the absolute dream team. And to be able to sit in the media box on a game night and watch the amount of work that goes into putting something like that together and just how much care they put into their craft, nothing is done in half measures. Those guys are working their tails off from hours before face-off, and they're often some of the last guys out of the arena after everyone's done. I love them to bits. Absolutely brilliant, and long may it last.
Anything from yourself, Joel?
Just a really quick congratulations to two of the kind of BC originals from back in my days of being a Hallian up in the corner there. James Blown and Cheryl Totten welcomed their first baby son into the world this past week, wee baby Isaac. So just a huge congratulations from all of us, and two really, really good folks. And it's lovely to see baby Isaac here safely, and everyone's healthy and happy. So huge congratulations to them.
Ah, well done. Congratulations. That's fab news. Right. Well, I think on that note, it's no better place to finish. Like I said, the game's Dundee. Stars at the SSC Arena, Saturday, 7 p.m. Nottingham Panthers, Sunday, 4 p.m. Get your tickets. Get yourself down there to see your Elite League and Challenge Cup champions try to defend their trophies. And if you can't, Belfast Giants TV, you'll be watching it just like me with Sheds and with Mr. Simon Kitchen behind the mic. Big thanks to Paul Swindlehurst, Kieran Long, Jean Dupree, and to Omar Pasha, and of course, the wonderful Laura Small. If you want to get in touch with us at AVFTB, is us on Twitter. KingdomOfTheGiants.com is, of course, the website for all the highlights, the game reports, the interviews, and a few really great pieces of the last couple of weeks from the likes of Gary Jackson and Chris Lovell. So if you want to write anything, articles at KingdomOfTheGiants.com, get in touch. We're on Facebook and on soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all those post-game interviews and podcasts and everything besides. Mr. McGimsey, Mr. Neil, thank you for your time.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, boys.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Podcast Network.